Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the World of Floaters. This is episode 2. First and foremost, let me thank you all for bearing with me on a very, very improv episode 1. It was a little rough, but I got the story out, and that was the main purpose of episode 1. So if you took a listen to it, I really greatly appreciate you. And if you haven't, and would like to know my story on how my iFloater journey began, I would recommend you listening to The Mind Shift, which is the very first episode of this podcast. I've been wanting to do this for some time now. Somehow over the years, I became the king of procrastination. But I knew that even with no experience, I really just needed to do it. I had to get the ball rolling. And now the story is out. Whether it was pretty or not, I know you, the listener, you just want somebody to tell you the truth. You're not looking for me to be perfect. You just want an iFloater homie, just like I wanted you. Somebody to relate with. I believe great minds think alike. And so, that's why I believe that us, me and you, will always see eye to eye. So on today's episode, I wanted to talk about a few theoretical topics, things that have yet to be proven scientifically, medically, or really in any kind of way at all. Just a few ideas that I've came up with over the years of this wonderful iFloater journey. So come along with me on this ride, and please leave a comment on the @WorldOfFloaters IG if you want to agree or disagree with any of these theories of possible reasons for the iFloater. Theory number one, the technology theory. A lot of the iFloater community are young individuals, ranging from early teens through mid-30s. Historically, people did not develop severe iFloaters like us until later in life, which leads me to question, what exactly is happening here? I mean, I say it's obvious. The biggest change from then and now is the technology. For the people 50 and up, the best technology they had growing up was what? The television, right? I'm pretty sure for a majority of them, that's what it was. Computers were not really huge until the mid-90s, and even then, all families probably didn't even have one until the late 90s or early 2000s. You know, like the AOL days and Instant Messenger when, before even AIM, you know, people used to log on to AOL and do the Instant Messenger. That was early 2000s. I remember that clearly. I was about in the sixth grade, no, like the fifth grade, going into the sixth grade. I remember it pretty vividly. So let me ask you this. When you were a child, what was the number one thing your parents would say to you when it came to the TV? Don't stand too close, or don't sit too close. I wonder why. I don't know, but I'm sure it wasn't because they knew that one day there would be some guy who lives in Las Vegas, Nevada, who would feel obligated to make a podcast about iFloaters one day. But because it was common sense to not strain your eyes being so close. My generation grew up playing video games from around the ages of 4 and 10. Then from 10 to 18, it was heavy computer usage. You know, MySpace, and that's when, you know, Facebook also just started getting popular. Excuse me, I hit the mic a little bit there. And then from like 18 to about now, right now I'm about 30, it's been cell phones and smartphones, technology smack dab in our face. All right, back on track now. I do gotta say though, doing the advertisements is kind of fun. But like I was saying, smack dab in the face. So much for don't stand too close to the TV. Shoot. Now we have LED screens with massive radiation, blue light no further than a foot away from our eyeballs. The generation after me had computers from birth to about 5 years old. And these are estimations, okay? But listen to me now. Tablets from about 5 to 12 years old. And then they had smartphones from about 12 to now. Look, I've met people about 16, 17 years old with eye floaters. I developed eye floaters at 27. They developed them at 17, all right? So that means I received eye floaters 10 years later than they would have. And they developed them 10 years before I did, age-wise. So the generation before me probably will receive them or develop them more so from the ages of 37 to 42, 43. And the generation before them, 50 to 55. Are you getting my drift? You get the picture here? I don't think this is rocket science, truthfully. Eventually, in about 30 years, 40 years, literally a great deal of the population will more than likely have eye floaters. Look, I really do hope not, but this is just simply my prediction. What can we do to help this? First of all, we all got to use blue light protection. Either the screens on our cell phones need to have blue light protection, or if you use glasses, make sure there's blue light protection on them. And if you can't, just simply add it at your eye doctor. Get some new ones. Get a new prescription with blue light protection. Because, trust me, your eyes are receiving a lot of that blue light. And there's many studies that is known to prove that blue light deteriorates the eye. Oh, one more thing, just to piggyback off that last piece. With that being said about the blue light and all these LED smartphones being so close to our eyes every single day, day in and day out, soon as we wake up in the morning, there's probably a good chance that we are all nearsighted now. And that could be why we see these floaters, because we're so nearsighted. Kind of makes sense, right? All right, now for theory number two, chronic dehydration. Your body will go through almost any lengths to maintain your blood pH at around 7.365. If the body fluids are acidic, they will seek alkaline minerals to react with, such as sodium, potassium, zinc, iron, and calcium. These are found and taken from the liver, muscles, ligaments, and bones, etc. If too little is available from the diet, that's where they come from. Now, the liver is what I really want to focus on here, because the liver and the eye have a direct connection with each other. And I definitely knew this before ever developing eye floaters. There was a lady who used to be a friend of the family. Growing up and being around her, she was a real alcoholic. She was nice, you know, not like an angry alcoholic or nothing like that, but she used to drink Hennessy all the time. Oh, I can't do Hennessy. You ever try to do a shot of Hennessy? Oh my gosh, no thank you. That's one of those ooh after a shot, ooh, like a punch in the stomach. Anyways, and if you don't know, alcohol is processed in our body directly through the liver. Now, if you beat up your liver too much with alcohol, your eyes will literally turn yellow. And I mean yellow. This is something you can Google if you want to get some visual proof. It's pretty crazy. Wait a minute. Where's the music? We got to get the music going. All right, we got the music going now. All is good. We're jamming out. Anyways, alcohol dehydrates your body. We know this, right? I'm not saying stop drinking alcohol. That's not what this segment is about at all. Because believe me, I can go for a beer right now. I don't know, maybe like a Blue Moon, Bud Light, something. Hey, why don't you tell me what your favorite beer is? Let me know in the comments. You know what? I have a post probably about more down to the bottom of the page where I have a Pliny of the Elder beer. Why don't you comment on that post and let me know what your favorite beer is? Me, myself, I am a beer person. I do enjoy a good IPA, maybe Stone IPA or Lagunitas, maybe even a Ballast Point. Those are all pretty good. But anyways, this isn't supposed to be about that at all. Just kind of going off on a tangent there. I just think, you know, when it comes to alcohol, maybe it is something that you should space out by a week or two, or even a month, you know, if you have eye floaters. I do know this, when I drink alcohol, I do tend to notice eye floaters a little bit more, especially if I drink too much. You know, that's something that's very noticeable in my opinion. All right, so what I want to do is actually read you something from a website. I was doing some research just a little bit ago, and I found something on rebuildyourvision.com. And I always want to tell you my sources of the information whenever I am getting some actual information. That way you know where you could look as well. So it's a small little piece right here. I don't want to read too much of it. I want to keep this mostly my material. So it says, to heal the eyes, look to the liver. At first glance, the eyes and liver have about as much in common as milk and champagne. And if you imbibe too much of the latter during the holiday season, you may be excused for thinking that bubbly's only linked to eyesight to induce drunken double vision. But according to Dr. Mark Grossman, all right, in traditional Chinese medicine, a discipline that goes back more than two millennia, all diseases involving the eye are closely related to the liver. Specifically, he says the cornea and the iris are more connected to the liver. All right, we know that the liver and the eye are in close relation, whatever part of the eye it is, you know, we know it's connected to the liver. Anyways, connected problems, blurry vision, myopia, floaters in the eye. All right, let's say that again, connected problems, blurry vision, myopia, floaters in the eyes, dry eyes, color blindness are all connected to some extent to the liver blood deficiencies. Oh my gosh. We'll go ahead and stop right there on this little piece that I read from the website. Deficiency is a lack of or shortage of something, right? We all know that. All right, so let's go back to the first few seconds of theory number two, chronic dehydration. Your body will go almost to any lengths to maintain your blood pH around 7.365. If the body fluids are acidic, they will seek minerals to react with, such as sodium, potassium, zinc, iron, calcium. These are found and taken from the liver. Liver, oh my gosh, we're getting them right now, y'all. We're getting down to the bottom of these floaters, I'm telling you. Muscles, ligaments, and bones, etc. If too little is available from the diet, oh my gosh. So that's where the deficiency comes in. Now we know that we're deficient in some kind of way. So the minerals we need to keep our liver healthy can very well be getting depleted to keep our blood pH level as possible, which actually might be damaging our liver without us even really knowing, which then could be keeping minerals needed to keep our eyes nice and strong away from the health of our eyes. So can drinking the wrong water actually be as good as drinking beer for us? Maybe not quite as bad. But if I had to tell you in my theory, I'd say probably so. Making our bodies to struggle to stay pH balanced can actually be dehydrating us anymore, or even more. It is estimated that 75% of North Americans are chronically dehydrated. 50 through 80% of all diseases can be linked to dehydration. Alright, so I want to read you a couple things here. Virtually all degenerative diseases, including heart disease, arthritis, osteoporosis, kidney, gallstones, and tooth decay, are associated with excess acidity in the body. Of all acidifying factors in life, stress is the greatest, which can neutralize and acidify an alkaline diet with one surge of adrenaline. So I do know that the eye floaters, they stress you out a little bit. just keep in mind, like, hey, let's just keep it cool, you know, because too much stress can actually be bad for our body. We all know this, right? Cells of the body cannot extract nutrients from the blood unless the pH is correct. All right. The body loses 2.5 liters of water every day just through normal bodily functions. The quality of water you drink is just as important as the quantity of water you drink. So, this theory being chronic dehydration, I believe what we can do to help ourselves in a great way is drink alkaline water. Ever since I started drinking alkaline water, I gotta be honest, I started seeing a huge difference. Now, I still got floaters. It didn't make the floaters go away or nothing like that, but my eyes do feel nice, and like, it's like a cool feeling almost. So it almost makes me wonder, wow, have I been dehydrated for all these years? I mean, I've been drinking water, but maybe I was drinking the wrong water. Maybe my body has been struggling to extract the nutrients that they need. And maybe there's just an imbalance in the pH. Now, our bodies are already naturally very, very acidic. So there's studies that say that there's no way to fully level the pH in our bodies. But the least we can do is drink some good pH level water that can actually help our bodies absorb all the nutrients that are needed, so that we're not depleting our liver and bones of all the nutrients that they already have, just to stay hydrated and what have you. Anyways, thank you all for listening. This is the episode 2 of World of Floaters. I appreciate you all greatly. If you have any comments or anything that you want to say, if you want to say you appreciate this podcast, go ahead and do so on the @WorldOfFloaters Instagram. If you love and appreciate the material that I'm coming with and want to hear more, just stay tuned. There's definitely going to be more and more episodes. I definitely think this is what I really like doing. I like talking. And now I found a way that I could talk to you all for as long as I want. All right. Y'all have a good one. Talk to you soon, World of Floaters.